Glory to God, Elder Timothy Lewis. Glory to God. Amen. Namesake brother. I love that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Has been a mighty, mighty servant in the body of Christ. Glory to God. Has served his pastor honorably. Served him consistently. Served him well. Glory to God. Even through mighty, mighty trials, continue to serve. He's going to share some things with us as the Lord gives him leading. We are glad for him. Why don't we just give a good harvest welcome to Elder Timothy Lewis. Bless you, sir. Bless you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. It's such an honor to be here today and be amongst God's people to share with you what the Lord has done for me. I feel inadequate to be in the presence of such great men of God, such as your pastor and Dr. Wheelock, but it has given me much honor to serve these men over the years as armor bearers as they come to our church. I count it not slight that the Lord will call his servant and to talk about the experiences that I have had with the Lord. But I want to share those experiences with you on today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done, and we thank you and we reverence you for your love and your kindness, your tender mercies. Lord, as we stand in the holy presence, we now ask that you hide us behind the cross. Let no flesh glory in your sight. Word these lips of clay. Give us what to say. Take the words off of these pages and anoint them, God, that the people will be blessed. That it will penetrate their minds and their hearts, that they would know that you are God. And there's none beside you. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to stand here and be in the presence of your people. And you are my Lord and you are my Savior. Continue to bless and let your blessings of your anointing shine and rain down in this place. Fill us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, we thank God for the opportunity. We thank God for Chaplain Doris Whitaker, a dear friend of mine. Love her, love her family, for the invitation to come and talk on the Sparrow of Hope. And I thank the Lord for my wife, my dear wife. Lovely lady of the Lord, love God's people, love the Lord. Amen. And been with me through thick and thin and through the battles. Amen. Some time ago, I believe that when I was driving to Prentice, Mississippi with Pastor Butler and Mother Butler. And Mother Butler, I was a minister at the time, I believe. And Mother Butler, where I was calling to the minister, I did not have my minister's license. And Mother Butler said to me, "Baby, I want you to write a message on Psalms 23. And I went and I started looking at Psalms 23, and as I read Psalms 23, I thought, I haven't experienced any of the things that Psalms 23 was talking about. And I couldn't write it. I studied it, but I couldn't do any writing. But after this experience that I went through, from 2012 to 14, I began to pen my experiences from Psalms 23. And I will start off by reading the Word of God in Psalms 23. The Word of God said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to talk to you all today. Three things out of the five things that I've learned in the valley. Three of the five things I want to share with you all that I learned in the valley of the shadow of death. And we're talking about the Sparrow of Hope services. So this message to you is to bring hope to you. Pastor Butler, that amazing, he always taught us that when faith fails, we still have hope. And he also taught us from Psalms 11 and 3, when the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Or what can the righteous do when everything crumbles before them? And he said to us, that we can pray, that we can fast, that we can keep on believing, and we can keep on trusting in God, and we can keep on hoping in God. People of God, God has promised us blessings and provisions, even in difficult times. And so I want you to touch your neighbor and tell them, the devil thought he had me, but I'm still standing. Not only am I still standing, I'm walking in the promises of God. The word hope, H-O-P-E, hope, having an optimistic perception of the situation despite of the evidence before you. Hope. Having an optimistic perception of the situation despite the evidence that's looking or lurking or looking or staring you in your face. So in today's message, I want to draw your attention, like I said, to three things that I experienced when I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. From January 21st, 2012 to January the 4th, 2014. And like I said, no, that was more than just three noticeable experiences. But I believe today God wants me to testify to you from these few points that you will understand the provisional love of God, the protective love of God, the restorational love of God that he has for you in your situation. He wants to deliver us from both our physical and spiritual dilemmas. He wants to deliver us from fear, deliver us from addiction. We need to have deliverance from strongholds and physical and spiritual healing as well. But the Bible says that if you only believe. Jesus said in the book of St. Matthew 19 and 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are what? Possible. In St. Mark chapter 9, 22, verse 24, there was a father who had a son who was vexed with an evil spirit, and his evil spirit would throw his son in and out of the fire, in and out of the fire, and then in and out of the water, trying to destroy him. The father came to Jesus and said to him, "Can you do anything about my son's condition? Will you have compassion on us? Lord, we need help." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe it." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So you see that the father had been struggling with this situation for so long that his belief system was clouded by skepticism. His belief system was clouded by doubt. And his belief system in God, believing that God can do what he said he can do, was clouded by the premeditated judgment of what was going on in his life right now. Man, we are the same way as this father. We have predetermined that whatever situation that we are in, that God cannot bring us out because we've been in it long enough. It's as though that the wheels of life is just turning and spinning in one place, and we can't get out of it. But Jesus said that it can happen if thou only what believe. But the father knew that he had a pressing problem, and so he needed to believe that Jesus could solve his problem. And I ask the question to you today, do you believe? Do you believe that Christ can do what he said he can do? Can you trust Jesus with your situation? Can you trust him in your circumstances? Can you trust him in your dilemma? Doubt and unbelief is a hindrance to our faith. Saints of God, faith is an important basis for miracles to happen. Let me say that again. Our faith is the important basis. It is the foundation for miracles to happen. If you have faith, God can work a miracle. So will you trust God with your troubles? Psalms 23 again said, the summit said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, tell somebody to go through. Tell them don't stop in the belly of the valley, but go through. So the first thing that I experienced while I was in the valley of the shadow of death is I experienced God's love of protection. The Bible said that the Lord is my shepherd. And saints of God, I found out that God will watch over you when you are in your weakest moment. Just because you're weak don't mean that God is not hovering over you, that he's not watching over you, that he's not attending to your cares and your needs. I'll tell somebody today, when you are in the valley, you need a shepherd. Because the shepherd's presence will inspire you with confidence. It would inspire you with comfort, hope, and joy in the midst of any difficult circumstance, because you know that he's leading you all the way through. When I was sick and when I was dying, the Lord took me back where I was a little boy back home in Belzona, Mississippi. And where my brothers and his older friends, they would call themselves having a club scout. And so I was part of the club scout. And we would go hiking in the midst of the woods. But I noticed something that the Lord was showing me. As we got into the thicket of the woods, the club scout leaders, my brothers and his friends, they began to go before us. And as they went before us, they would move the branches out of the way. While with the little ones, we walked through. And when they thought that the coast was clear, they let the branches go. And some of those branches did hit us. And the Lord told me, he said, Timothy, he said, I'm just like that as a shepherd. I'm going before you in this sickness, and I am moving things out of the way that can bring harm to you, but I will not guarantee you that you will not come out with some scars, but you will survive. Hey, my God. It makes no difference what you are facing. God can make the difference. The shepherd will walk before you, the flock, ready to protect the flock from the assault of the enemy. I want you to know in your times of great trouble, God is still enough. All we got to do is just wait on him. Whatever you're going through, God wants to show himself strong on your behalf. When you are in the valley, you are persuaded that God's word is true and his grace is sufficient. Why? Because you have the presence of the shepherd with you. You will learn that the shepherd arms that you can lean on until you emerge out of the fight, and the Holy Ghost will come to you in your day of distress and bring all things back to your remembrance. Oh, bless his name. And the Holy Ghost not only will bring things back to your remembrance, but the Bible said in Psalms 32 and 5 that he will surround you with songs of deliverance. Bless his holy name. The Holy Ghost, he comforted me with the scriptures. He was bringing scriptures back to my mind when I was sick and lying on my bed of affliction. He brought back Isaiah 41 and 10. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, Timothy. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 27 and 14, the Bible said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he surrounded me, saints, with songs of deliverance. While I was on my bed of affliction, while I was in the hospital room, and while I was even on the operating table, God gave me a song to sing. Oh, bless his name. Songs like, guide me over, oh great Jehovah. Oh Lord, I'm in your care. Keep your loving arms around me where the enemy cannot find me. Oh Lord, I'm in your care. And then the song, the safest place in the whole wide world is in the will of God. And Jesus, you are my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour. Oh, bless his name. Even in sickness, when I didn't know where I was, when I didn't know if I was going to live or die, the comforting word of God came to me on my bed of affliction to encourage me to keep going, to press on, to hang on in there. And I'm telling somebody today, keep going, press on, and hang on in there, because your shepherd, he will watch over you when you are weak. And I know he will. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and tell him, say, God will provide. Number two, I recognize that God is with me. And I recognize that I was in a spiritual warfare. We have to know the difference. Because the Bible says, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that, he put it this way in the Living Bible translation, for we are not fighting people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world is who we're fighting against. And as Christians, we just don't engage in physical battle, but we wrestle against spirits or spiritual weakness or wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 and 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself in the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. There's three things that the enemy doesn't want us to understand and want us to know. And number one is, Satan doesn't want you to know that you have the authority in Christ to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. He doesn't want you to know that you have the authority in Christ Jesus to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Satan doesn't want you to know that you are wrestling against spirits that has launched a fiery, faith-stealing darts against your mind. And these faith-stealing darts against your mind that come in the form of your own thoughts. Your thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. The third thing that Satan doesn't want you to know, he doesn't want you to know that you can't effectively pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and bring every thought into captivity without first casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God in your mind. You cannot fight the enemy when you got so much going on in your mind. You can't stand up against him when in your mind you're doubting God. Satan wants you to live in a defeated mentality. He doesn't want you to put on the whole armor of God. This is what I learned in the valley. My experience with God in 2012, starting January the 1st, I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went to a free heart screening. About 1,000 people attended that event that weekend. And I was told by three cardiologists that my heart was functioning at 25%, when it should have been functioning at 50 to 70%. And from May 18, 2013 to December the 2nd, 2013, I was dying and my heart was now functioning below 20%. By December the 3rd, 2013, to January the 3rd, 2014, my heart has completely failed. I was connected to a machine in the hospital. I was connected to an intra-aortic balloon pump that helped my heart pump my blood through my body. I was dying. My doctor came to me and told me that I was at the end stage of congestive heart failure. One doctor back here in Mississippi told me that I was sick enough, I was so sick that I was sick enough to die. That I can walk out of the hospital at any moment and take my last step. What a terrible thing to tell a wife of a dying man. And while I was lying on my bed of affliction in 2013, the devil came to me in my bed. And he said to me, I got you now. I'm going to kill you. You got away from me the last three times that I attempted to kill you, but I got you now, bone for bone, skin for skin. I'm going to kill you. And soon after, Satan finished talking his talk, the Holy Ghost came to me. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And the Holy Ghost said, tell Satan this. Hey, my shata. Hey. He said, tell Satan this in a song. He said, sing this song to Satan now. And I began to sing, no ground. I ain't giving up no ground. I have a cause worth fighting for. Satan, I'm not going to take no more. No ground. I'm not giving up no ground. I'm absolutely, positively glory bound. I ain't giving up no ground. Hallelujah. But the devil said, I got you. I'm going to kill you now. Then the Holy Ghost came right back and comforted me by telling me, he said, if any man, John 10 and 28 and 29, if any man be in God's hand, no man can pluck him out. If any man be in the hand of Christ, no man can pluck him out. So I turned my face to Satan and I told Satan that you can't get me. I'm in the middle of God in Christ. I'm between a double decker. I said, you are a defeated fee. You can't get me. You were defeated at the Calvary cross. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Then I told him, I said, Satan, even if you manage to push me over the edge, and I'm talking about into death now, I said, my father, with his righteous right hand, will be there to hold me and catch me. I said, so even in death, I have victory. Hey! We can't be afraid of dying when we're in Christ. Because even in death, we still win the battle. Because we're with him throughout eternity. And when you're with him throughout eternity, you live. Somebody shout glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must trust God and not fear. Fear. The spirit of fear is one of the oldest weapons of Satan. The spirit of fear will give you a reason to look for negativity in all situations. In other words, fear will blindside you and will cause you to take your eyes off of Jesus. The spirit of fear will cause you to cry out to God and at the same time doubt God at the same time. The spirit of fear, it will sap you of your energy and rob you of your joy in living. The spirit of fear will try to tell you to die. You have no reason to live. The situation is too much. So you might as well die. In the valley, I want you to know that you are going to meet the spirit of fear and the spirit of intimidation. The spirit of fear will tell you that you can't win. And you won't make it. And you can't make it through. While the spirit of intimidation will stand over you to make sure that you don't call, that you don't talk back. One is talking to you. The other is intimidating you. Hallelujah. One telling you what you can't do, and the other one standing over saying, you shut your mouth. You better not say nothing. You better not call on the name of God. He can't hear you. And when those two are messing with your mind, you succumb to the intimidation and you die. Somebody in here right now, the spirit of fear is talking to you. Why does his cousin, the spirit of intimidation, hovering over you, daring you to do something about it? And you're spinning and you're spinning in that situation. You're spinning in that problem. Both spirits are trying to invade your mind so they can occupy, catch it, that they can occupy the place of praise. They want to substitute your praise for fear. But the devil is a liar. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, arise and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God go with you, and I would never leave you nor forsake you. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you power. Somebody shout power. The third thing and the last thing that I learned while I was in the valley of the shadow of death, I learned that God will talk with you while you are walking through the valley. Oh my God. I learned that he would talk with you. Not only will he go before you, but he's there talking and guiding. I come to tell somebody today that your valley experience that you're in right now is not altogether a bad place to be. I found out that God is not only the God of mountain experience, but God, he's a God over every valley that you will face in your life. And whatever you're going through, he's still God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, he's still God. He can turn your situation around and work it out for your good while he's working it out for his glory. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. And when you're in the bad valley, in the belly of the valley, your faith, this is a good thing about the valley, being in the valley, your faith is stretched. Hallelujah. The valley will stretch your faith. Oh, bless his holy name. And so what? So why are we frightened? And why are we so frightened? And what are we so frightened about when we get into the valley? Well, I can tell you why we become frightened when we get into a valley. The valley is a place of trial and testing. And saints of God, we don't like to be tried and we don't like to be tested. Oh, you can go ahead and admit it. The valley is a place where wild animals are found. You got bears and wolves and serpents and lions and rhinos and leopards. We got small animals and big animals. The valley is a place where you meet discouragement. The valley is a place of weeping and despair. The valley is a place of uncertainty. It's a place where your faith is challenged. It's a place where victory seems hopeless. That's why we don't want to go into the valley. But let me encourage you, saints. There's no place and no situation that you can be in, catch it, that's beyond the reach of Calvary's power. Our victory to overcome is found and placed in our faith in the victor himself. And that is Jesus Christ. In the valley. And I'm closing. I learned to listen more attentively to the voice of God and for the voice of God. God said to me that this sickness is not unto death, but it is a journey that you must take. You're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but fear not. And I told God on my bed of affliction, I said, Lord, why should I not fear? I said, I'm lying here dying. I can't walk. I'm losing my appetite. I'm losing weight. And I'm losing my hearing. Can you imagine losing 40 pounds from this weight right here? Pastor, I lost 40 pounds from this. So I had a right to ask God that. Why should I not fear? All of this that I'm losing. And now I have a burning sensation in my abdomen that the doctors don't even know why it's burning like that. So I asked God, why should I not fear? And God said with his loving kindness to me, he said, for I am with thee. That's why. Don't you fear? Because I'm with you. I know where you are. I'm right beside you. I'm walking with you. I'm talking with you. I'm singing songs of melody to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he is with you today, walking with you in the valley experience. Trust him. He will bring you out. Because God is able. Everybody standing. I want you to know today that Jesus is bigger than any problem that you can face. This day has been ordained for you to know that whatever valley experience that you're facing right now, it can be a financial valley, the lack thereof. It can be a relationship valley. It can be an addiction valley. A valley of loneliness and a valley of hopelessness. I want you to know that Christ wants to get in with you and walk you through the valley of the shadows of death. Did you hear the words? He said, I will walk with you through. Not walk you, like we said in Humphreys County, Belzona, a piece away. We go a certain place with you and we turn around. And most of the time that place of turning for us is that we don't want to go into the dark area that you got to walk in. So we walk you right there to the shadow and we go back home. But God said, I'm going to walk with you. Do I have anyone in here today that is facing circumstances where you need Jesus to walk with you? Come now, come now, come now, come now, come now, come now. make your way to this altar. Come now, come now. Hasten yourself to this altar. He's not a man that he should lie, not a son that he shall repent. If he said it to me and did it for me, he'll do it for you. Five years now, Pastor. I've done things that I thought I'd never do. 7 years ago, when the enemy attacked my body. I'm healthier now than I ever been in my life. He gave me a new heart. He allowed someone else to die that I may live. And I knew he was with me, Dr. Wheelock, because when the man put a device in my chest, and when they had to take the device out of my chest, when they opened it, and when they took the patch off of my chest, the blood stain on the patch was formed in a cross. It was formed in the image of the cross. He wants to do the same for you. I don't know your situation, but I do know God knows. Lift those hands. Hallelujah. He has summoned you to come. And if you will believe God, not me, but God, he's going to turn your situation around. Hallelujah. All I want to do, Pastor, may I anoint their heads? Glory to God. Open that. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the Lord, thank you. Tell the Lord, thank you. Come on, let's praise God for what he's already done. We don't wait on God. God waiting on us. Because he's already worked the situation out. He's just waiting on you to see if you're going to give him a praise. Give him a praise. All I want to do is just lay my hands on you. Hey. Oh, glory to God. Work it out, Lord. Lord, work it out. Work it out, Lord. Work it out, God, in the name of Jesus. Turn that situation around. In the name of Jesus. Hey, hey. Thank you, Lord. Work it out. Hey, thank you. Yes, work it, God. Do a new thing. Do a new thing. Do a new thing in them. Turn that situation around. In the name of Jesus. Give her ears to hear. A mind to obey. Do it, God. That situation. That circumstance. That health issue. Move it, God. Move it, Lord. Move it, God. In the name of Jesus. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the strongholds. Tear down the strongholds in the name of Jesus. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do a new thing, God. Shake up the fallow ground. Destroy the yoke, God. Destroy the yoke, God. Cast away evil imagination, even in its place. Do it, God. Do it for your name's sake. Hey, say, hey, mama, 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 shata. He's a mama, 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 hey, 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 hey. Hey, he, mama, mama. Thank you, Lord. He's a masha. Hey, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hey, say, he's a mama, 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 masha. The Holy Ghost, turn around. Turn around. Hey, mama, 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 shata. Hey, thank you, Lord. He said, man, la, 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 la. Newness, 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 newness. He said, more. Hey, thank you, God. From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, I declare healing. I declare healing. I declare healing in the name of Jesus. On her right side, I declare healing in the name of Jesus. That she will walk in the liberty of God. That she will walk in the freedom of God. That she will walk in the power of God. Hey, 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 hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Hey. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Hey. You won't leave it like you came. In Jesus' name. Bound, afflicted, sick or lame. For the power of God is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, afflicted, sick or lame, for the power of the Lord is still the same. You won't leave here. I said you won't leave here. Why don't you point to yourself and say, I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Now give him some glory. Give him some glory. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. Give God the glory. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him while you're in the valley. Praise him when you come out of the valley. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Hey! Praise your way out. Hey. Hey.
mama.